Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Wake Up with Hope as we begin a brand new week here in the month of July 2022. Well, those of you that listen on a regular basis, you know how close I was to my dad and still am, even though he is in the heavenlies. And I remember when we would have conversations about the day that he would depart, whenever that would be, and the legacy that would be really left behind, you know, his legacy and all of his work. And I would say, well, Dad, you have this office full of books. Is this my legacy? Is this my inheritance? And we would laugh about it, and he would say, you'll always have my notes. Well, of course, I didn't understand that because I didn't need his notes because I had Dad. And I could go to him directly. But one thing he would always say is, Sharon, you'll have my notes. You'll always have my notes. And after Dad's departure, I went through his office and found a lot of notes. Thousands of notes, and that's not an exaggeration. And it's interesting because my dad did not teach from looking at notes or reading like many people do and typing out his messages. Now, he may write down thoughts or Bible verses, but never did he ever write out a message because he studied all the time and it was just inside of him. But he would write down the scripture text and so forth. Little did I know that my father would actually have a thought or a theme, and he would write the title. He never dated it because I don't think he lived in time, so there was never a date. So I'd have to go through these notebooks and try to find, you know, the age of the books to figure out how old he was when he started writing this, which I believe were a lot of these writings began in his 20s. But he would just write a little title and then write something about it, maybe one page, two pages. Well, I was looking through an old notebook. I think this was the 60s, before my time. I don't know, but it seems pretty old to me. And I found a poem that Dad wrote, because oftentimes my father, because he sang, he would write these lyrics. And he would put them to a certain melody. Well, he wrote this one. And I'm telling y'all, it so touched me, I'm going to share it with you this morning. There's no title of this poem because, again, he wrote it to be lyrics of a song which I have never heard. But it is a beautiful poem, and it really touched me. And I'm going to entitle it A Grip of Thine, because it's about a grip, G-R-I-P, you know, a grip, which is basically a very strong hold. So I want to read this for you this morning, and I think it's going to touch you. It really touched me. I've read it several times over the weekend and pondered it. It's very beautiful. A grip of thine, all-conquering hand, oh, give me, Lord, I pray. Thy hand of love with mark of nail on which my sin did lay. A grip of power to conquer sin. A grip of love divine. A grip of grace to keep me true. A grip which tells I'm thine. A grip of thine all-conquering hand, O Lord, I pray, give me. A grip which makes me glow with love and mold me like to thee. A grip which conquers all of self and keeps me in thy will. A grip which saves from fret and doubt and keeps me trustful still. A grip of thine all-conquering hand, give me, I pray, O Lord. A grip of skill which doth instill the spirit of accord. A holy grip which makes me fit to serve with love and prayer. A grip which leads to higher heights and keeps me always there. It's very powerful. And you're not going to get it listening to me just share this the first time. You have to replay this and listen again and again. I have read this over and over, and I'm still getting it. I want you to think about it for a moment this morning. What is a grip? A grip is a firm hold. A grip is a tight grasp. I think about how many times I have seen movies or documentaries, and someone has scaled a mountain and they're on the top, but their partner, the person that has joined them on that quest, wasn't quite there yet. And they're scaling this mountain, holding on to this rope, and the person at the top is waiting for them. And at the last moment, when they're struggling to get to that top, the person that is on the top of that mountain, that is standing there, reaches down with their hand. And the one that is trying to scale that mountain and get to that last part is then pulled up by that hand. But what they have to do is they have to grasp it, because that hand is going to grip them and pull them to the top. That is what God does for us. There is a grip of the Almighty hand. Note what my dad writes, a grip of thine all-conquering hand. All-conquering. Think about his hand. That hand conquered sin, because your hand speaks of your works. We never find Jesus getting into any sin. The hand is all-conquering. It conquered sin. The hand had a mark of love because it was marked with a nail. A grip of thine all-conquering hand, O Lord, give me, I pray. The hand of love with mark of nail on which my sin did lay. So I want you to think about that. Our sins were laid on his hands. So the hand of God took your sin so he can pull you out. Only the person that is conquered can give anyone else the grip they need to conquer. If you're standing on a mountain, you've conquered the mountain, so you can reach down and give someone struggling a grip of your hand to get them on the top of the mountain. And I love this, a grip of grace to keep me true. Wow. You think about the grace of God. How many times has the grace of God gotten you out of trouble? How many times has the grace of God strengthened you? Because as Paul said, I am strong. I'm strongest, actually, when I'm weak. It's your grace that's sufficient. Jesus told him, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. That's the grip of grace right there. I'm going to write a book called The Grip of Grace. I told Grace that last night, my daughter Grace. I said, I think I just found my next book title, A Grip of Grace, Compliments of My Dad, who wrote this poem. So that's my next book. It just leaped off of the page. A Grip of Grace. Wow, you think about that. How we need that. We need that grace that we can hold on to pull us out of the times that we're going through difficulties, where life is overwhelming and we can't take it anymore, because grace is strength under pressure. A grip which tells, I'm thine. You see, that grip that pulls us out lets us know we're his, because he always comes to our rescue. He's always there. His hand is always outstretched, but we're not always holding on to him. A grip of thine all-conquering hand. Note that. There's nothing he hasn't conquered. There's nothing his grip hasn't conquered. So whatever you're dealing with today, there's a grip greater than your problems, than your fears, than your worries, than whatever you're dealing with. It's a grip that conquers everything. Note this part. A grip which makes me glow with love and mold me to thee. Now that is powerful. If you don't have the 1 Corinthians 13 love of God, you can't be molded into his image. Because God is love. God is the manifestation of love. And the love of God is what brings the grip of God. Because he loves you so much that he's going to always reach down with his hand to hold on to you, and you hold on to him, and that grip is going to pull you through. Blessed be his name. How many of you listening to me this morning, you need the grip of God's all-conquering hand to pull you out of what you're dealing with right now? Well, the grip is there, and he will not lose you. He will not leave you. He will not let you go. He will pull you up and pull you out. A grip that keeps me in your will. You see, if that hand is holding yours and he's gripping you, you're going to stay in his will. You can't do your own thing when the hand is pulling you, but you've got to surrender to it. A grip which saves me from fret and doubt. How many times are we fretting? We fret about everything. We're upset. We're fretting. We're complaining. But the grip will save you from your fretting and your doubting, because you come into a place that you trust. You just trust. You got to trust him. A grip of thine all-conquering hand, give me, O Lord, I pray. That is really what our cry should be. Lord, I need a grip of your all-conquering hand. And I love this last part. To serve with love and prayer, a grip which leads to higher heights, think about it, higher heights, and keeps me always there. Wow. Only God's grip can pull you into a higher dimension, because the person that's on the top is the person that's in a higher place, and that's the Lord. Whoever's on the top of the mountain pulling you upward has got the upper hand. He's the one that's going to pull you higher. than where you are in your journey on the mountain. A grip that leads to higher heights and keeps me always there. That's the secret. You see, my dad lived in this. He lived in this. That's why he was an overcomer. That's why troubles and trials didn't move him. That's why he didn't complain. He lived in a dimension above it. A grip of thine all-conquering hand. There's nothing he hasn't conquered that you're going to face and go through. He's already conquered. He's the conquering king. And remember, the definition of grip is a firm hold, a tight grasp. God has you. Psalm 40 declares, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me, and he heard my cry. He pulled me up. That's a grip of God right there. From the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay. And he set my feet upon a rock, making my steps secure. Blessed be his name. He pulled me up. That's the grip of God. How about Psalm 145, 14? The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. It's powerful. The Lord upholds, or he'll pull up when you fall. There's a grip pulling you upward when you fall. He lifts you. He pulls up those who are bowed down. It's a grip of his all-conquering hand, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Listen to this about this all-conquering hand. Again, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God, who always, not sometimes, always causes us to triumph. What's the meaning of 2022? What is the prophetic meaning of this year? It's a year of triumph. Now, thanks be unto God, who always leads us into triumph in Christ. And through us, makes manifest the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. Thanks be unto God, who always leads us or causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. The Berean Study Bible reads, thanks be unto God, who always leads us triumphantly as captives in Christ. And through us spreads everywhere the fragrance of the knowledge of him. Blessed be his name. Note the wording. Thanks be to God, not who causes us to triumph. There's a word inserted there. Always. Always. That means God has made provision so that you never have to fail. God's hand is always outstretched to grip you from falling. There's a grip, and it's always pulling you upward. Note that. Everything with God is upward, not downward. Every time we're touched by God, we're pulled upward. We're closer to him, closer to heaven, closer to a new dimension of God. It's always an upward journey. It's an upward climb. It's an upward grip. And he always causes us to triumph. Not sometimes, here and there, maybe now, maybe not. No, it's a sure thing, but the key is the grip. What are you holding on to? See, the hand is there. Are you holding it? Or are you doing it your way? No, Lord, I know how to scale this. I've got my own mindset. I figured it out. I can do it in my own strength, because that's what we all do, in our own strength and reasoning. But what does the Lord say? I want you to put your strength aside, and I want you to look up, because there's a hand, and it's mine, and it's been pierced with a nail. And because it's been pierced with a nail, it's saying to you, I've already taken everything you're going to go through. I've already handled it. It's in my hand. The power is in my hand. The blood came out of my hand for your problem. And because my hand has been scarred with sin and troubles and trials and all you're going to go through, I've got the power in my hand to pull you through. Blessed be his name. But if you don't hold on to my hand, you're not going to triumph. And this is what we have to come to. We are such independent thinkers. We're such independent people. We're always going here, there, and everywhere. And God is saying, I want you to stop doing it in your own strength, because that's what's bringing you failure. And I want you to trust me and just extend your hand, because there's a grip waiting for you if you just surrender. You know why we lift up our hands when we worship God? It's an act of surrender. Lifting up your hands is a surrendering act. Well, if your hand isn't lifted, how in the world is he going to grab you? How are you going to feel the grip of God if your hand is down? We've got to come to the place of full surrender. Surrender is the key to the walk. Listen, we all have a will. Some of us are more strong-willed than others. I know I have been very strong-willed all my life. I knew what I was going to do. I had my life planned, my goals, my this, my that, until I laid in a sick bed for 2 years. And all of those goals and all my plans, they went nowhere. They had to come to a standstill. God had to reshape me, remold me, and get me out of the image of the world and the mold of the world and bring me into the mold of the Spirit. And until I laid on that bed, I did not surrender. It was sickness that brought me to surrender. It was always, my will be done. When sickness came, it was, okay, it's thy will be done. We've got to go from my will be done to thy will be done. Because everybody's really mastered my will be done, but we've not mastered thy will be done. And thy will be done will never come to you. You will never get to thy will be done until you go through Gethsemane. For the words of Jesus himself, not my will, thine be done. Everybody has to go through Gethsemane to get to thy will be done. And when you get to thy will be done, then you will then hold to him and he will lift you up. Now, you think about the grip of God. Do you realize that when Jesus was on a cross, he was lifted up? If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. The grip of the Father, he had to hold on. Because remember, the only conversation he was having outside of the one that he had with the one of the thieves on the cross, which was, today you will be with me in paradise, he was communing with the Father. The conversation was with the Father. The seven words, think about it, on the cross, the Lord was talking to the Father. So what was really going on there? He was in his grip. He could have never endured the cross without his Father and the Holy Spirit's power pulling him through. He was gripped by God. Another good name for a book title. Gripped by God. Now, don't take my titles, everybody. They're coming out of me this morning. Maybe God's trying to tell me it's time for you to start writing again, Sharon. It's time for you to start writing. But I want you to think about that. It's the grip of God holding the Lord, our master, on that cross because he was lifted up. How about at the resurrection? He's in the tomb. And the Holy Spirit comes and he's swept out of the grave clothes. Swept out of those grave clothes, leaves them behind. It's the grip of God that pulled them out. The grip of God. I want to go back to this poem that my father wrote. Again, a grip of thine all-conquering hand. And we could just stop at that and think about that for about, you know, a month. A grip of his all-conquering hand. He's never lost a battle. His hand has never been weak. His hand has never failed to pull anybody out of a pit. It's all-conquering because he is the all-conquering king. It is Jesus who causes us to triumph always. Always. And I want to encourage you today with this poem, hidden and buried in the pages of an old book from the 60s that I found that my father wrote. And of course, he never shared this with me because there's so many things that are hidden in those notes. With those last words, Sharon, you will always have my notes. I had no idea what he was saying was, this is your inheritance. I'm not leaving you money and gold and silver. I'm leaving you what money, gold, and silver cannot buy. I'm not leaving you houses and land and a big inheritance of this realm. But what I'm leaving you is a vast inheritance of the heavenly realm that money, gold, silver will never be able to compare with, because what I'm leaving you is going to change your life, impart into you the God's divine nature, and transform you and fit you for heaven. And what I leave you, you will take to eternity. Because I will tell you all this, when people leave this earth, it doesn't matter if they had $1 billion, they can't take it. You only leave earth with what has been imparted into you. And if what has been imparted into you is not of heavenly substance, is not of heavenly impartations and the degree of spirit, guess what? It's going to be a sad day. But those who feed on the spirit, those who have meditated on his word, those who have lived in his presence, those who have experienced him and tasted him and feed on him, they will carry a weightiness into eternity. The treasures of heaven, the dimension of glory will be theirs because heaven will open over your life. I saw it in my father. I saw him live with no fear. It didn't matter what the doctor said, never moved him. It didn't matter if the plane was about to go down. He's not going to scream and shout and get fear. He's going to continue to be at peace. It doesn't matter how much turbulence was happening. It didn't move him. What moved him was what he meditated on. What moved him was the grip of God's all-conquering hand, because no matter what was happening on the side of the mountain, he knew the grip of God had him. That is the key. Do you know that in the midst of your toil and trial and tribulation and heartaches and fears and all of the things racing through your mind and going, the things that you're going through in your life, that if you will just look up, because when you're scaling that mountain, what are you going to do? Look down and fall? The only way to do it is to look up. You can't get to the next level of a mountain without going up and looking up. If you will just look up and extend the hand of surrender, you'll find the hand of God is reaching down, and he will grip you. He will hold tight to you. There's a grip, and it's going to pull you up. You don't have to do anything. Do you realize when you're in the grip of that hand, there is nothing you can do but trust that the hand is stronger than you are, and he's going to pull you up. The person standing on top of the mountain has to be strong, because if that grip is weak, you're going down. And you can't do one thing but trust. In the name of the Lord. You're trying to get up to the top of the mountain, and you're hoping that the person who's got their hand outstretched has a stronger grip than you. Of course, it's the Lord our God. But I want you to envision that for a moment. What is the person climbing that mountain doing? Here's this hand stretching down, and there is nothing you can do, not one thing, but lift up and surrender. The only way for you to get to that top is to trust the hand extended, that hand is going to grip you tightly, not let you go, and pull you up. And there's not one thing you do but surrender that hand to the greater hand, the all-conquering hand. Blessed be the glorious name of the Lord our God. This morning, God is speaking to all of us through a poem hidden, buried in the pages of an old, falling-apart notebook that probably traveled to America from Guyana. I don't know where it came from. I just found it. And when I found that, it's interesting, I had it by my nightstand, and I was going to bed the other night, and I reached it over to touch it, and I thought, I need to read something from this, and it was opened to this page. Now, what are the odds of that? It was already opened. The Holy Spirit already had the page waiting for me to see and read. A grip of thy all-conquering hand. May these words challenge you, strengthen you, encourage you to know that it's just about surrender. Because there's a conquering hand, and it's outstretched. It's nail-pierced. It's already taken your burden. It's already taken your sin. It's already taken your trials. It's already taken your sickness. It's already taken everything you're going through. And he's saying to you today, just surrender and hold on, because I'm gonna hold you so tightly. There's a grip that will pull you through. It's the grip of his all-conquering, not part-conquering, not a little-conquering, but all-conquering, because God always causes us to triumph in everything. His hand is outstretched to you. Just surrender. The Lord bless you. I pray that these words will ring true in your life as they're ringing true in mine. And I also want to remind you, August 13th, is our gala, and Wow, do I have surprises for you all. You are going to love this time of celebration and gift giving, and oh, it's going to be awesome. I want you to come. I want you to make every effort to come. Go and search your airline tickets, get them, and come to New Orleans. It's going to be powerful. Also, you've got to get your tickets ASAP because we've got to prepare food, and there's a lot going on. So basically, your ticket is paying for your meal. And we have so many things that are planned. It's going to be a powerful, awesome night. I want you to bring your spouse, your children, your friends, your family. It's going to be an unforgettable evening. We have much planned for you. August 13th, go to the website today and get your tickets at SharonBoland.com. We love you. The Lord bless you. And if you need anything, just an email away. Just email me at contact@SharonBoland.com. Have a wonderful day, everybody.